of the most bizarre airline disasters of all time took place on December the 29th, 1972. Like most disasters, it was not the result of just one thing, but a series of very unfortunate incidents. As the story goes, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 was bound from New York City to Miami, Florida. It was an uneventful flight until the final approach for landing in Miami. The three sets of landing gear were lowered, but it seems like there was a problem with the front landing gear because one of the indicator lights didn't come on that was supposed to come on when all the gear was down. And so because of that, they aborted their landing. They flew up to 2,000 feet in a holding pattern so the crew could determine what the problem was. Now, they were pretty well convinced the problem was with the light bulb, a little 50-cent light bulb. And so the pilot decided to take the bulb out and to look at it. And after looking at it and determining that it seemed like everything was okay, tried to put it back in the socket. Well, apparently he put the bulb back in the wrong way and he got it stuck. And so he looked for a pair of pliers and some Kleenex tissue. And he devoted his energies with a pair of pliers and the Kleenex, try to get that bulb out and to try to get it put in right and try to solve the problem. Meanwhile, he sent one of the crew members down below deck to try to take a look. There was, I guess, an area where you could see a physical alignment mark that would indicate if the landing gear indeed was down and locked. So he sent one of his crew members down below to try to figure that out. Now, because the captain, the pilot, and his crew were distracted with the 50-cent light bulb, they forgot the most basic rule of aviation. You got to fly the plane. See, they had set the plane on autopilot, and they turned their attention to the problem with a light bulb, and what they didn't notice, and in bumping the autopilot, the plane began a very slow descent. And by the time they figured out what was going on and turned their attention back to flying the plane, it was just barely off the ground. And so what happened was they literally flew the plane right into the ground. The plane was destroyed and lives were lost because the main thing, which is to fly the plane, wasn't the main thing. Now, let's talk about something besides airplanes. Let's talk about driving a car. You know where I'm going with this. Don't get me started, if I can use one of John's phrases. Don't get me started on this. This is obviously one of my pet peeves. When I grew up, when I learned to drive, I was taught that the main thing to do is to drive the car. You know, driver's ed tells you that, and they show you this gory film about what happens when you don't pay attention to getting involved in a serious accident and all that. Anyway, it was really drilled into our heads that the main thing is you drive the car. You know as well as I do, the main thing these days seems to be to talk on a cell phone or to text message or put on your makeup or whatever else it is, but the main thing isn't the main thing. The leading cause of accidents are distracted drivers. Well, enough said. A few years ago, groups and organizations decided to develop purpose statements. Apparently, there was a realization that groups and organizations are not always aware of the main thing. It's easy to lose sight of why you exist and what it is that you're supposed to do. And so groups put a lot of energy into coming up with a well-worded purpose statement that everybody could remember so they would know what's the main thing and to be focused on the main thing. Now I wonder, as I stand before you this morning, if we know what the main thing is. Do we know about the purpose statement that we have as individuals and as a body of believers, the church? And as we look into Acts chapter 6, and again, I hope you're turned there, as we're going to look at some verses there, this is the one thing I want you to consider, and that is, what's the main thing that we as individuals and as a body of believers are all about as we look into these verses? So again, that's your hunt this morning, is to find the main thing as we look into these verses. Now verse 1 says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food." Verse 1 says that a complaint arose. That's kind of an interesting way to word it. Somebody wasn't happy. A complaint arose. Things have been going pretty well for the church up to this point. We looked in chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Man, it started with a bang in a very big way. And so things took lots and lots of people coming to Christ through the message of the gospel. And so it grew phenomenally. And then there came a time when there was opposition from the outside. We looked at that. Peter and John healed a lame man. The authorities weren't any too pleased about what he had to say about Jesus, so they passed a law indicating they were no longer to talk about Jesus. In fact, Acts 4:18 says they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And so there's opposition from the outside, so problems begin to develop. But now we get to chapter 6, and there's a new kind of a problem they face, namely, there's some trouble from within. So they faced opposition from the outside, but now some problems that come from within. It has to do with some widows who aren't getting the daily distribution of food, it says. And so apparently the church had a daily system of meals on wheels. And some of the widows weren't getting their daily meals on wheels. And so it doesn't seem like a big deal. You know, if you consider what are the apostles thinking as this comes along, what's their response going to be? Basically, hey, you guys figure this thing out yourselves. Or get over it. It's not that big a deal. Or don't trouble us with it. You know, you think that could have been what the apostles decided to say. Things are going well. Lots and lots of disciples are being made. And this is just a little wrinkle in the whole thing. It's no big deal. But it is a big deal. Verse 2 indicates what happens. It says, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So the disciples don't just blow this thing off and say it's no big deal. There's just some little complaining going on the side. No, they summoned the congregation of the disciples, it says. So they called the very first congregational meeting. Church has been doing it ever since for the last 2,000 years or so. And so they called a meeting, but it wasn't your typical congregational meeting where they said, all right, let's get everybody together and let's figure out what the problem is. They already had some things figured out. They simply wanted to get everybody together, communicate some things, get them involved in the whole thing. But basically, they make a statement. It is not desirable for us to neglect the Word of God in order to tables. That translation doesn't seem to really get the force of it across like others do. The New International Version, the Revised Standard in particular, it states, it is not right that we should neglect the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And so that's a bit more forceful. It's not right that we should do this. And so you read a statement like that, and they're saying it's not right that we ought to give up the ministry of the Word to wait tables, and you say, well, who do these guys think they are anyway? Are they just a little bit too good to go out and serve tables? You know, these are the guys who've been with Jesus 3.5 years, and so there was a time, incidentally, when they argued who was the greatest among them anyway. And so, is that where they're coming from? You have this elitist group where they're saying, well, we're a little too good to do that. You guys take care of this issue. No, they're simply making a statement about the priority that needs to be focused upon, not to minimize the problem that's going on. They weren't too good to wait on tables, but in essence, they're saying this is a very real problem that must be solved, but solving it must not involve pulling us away from the work of the Word of God. So, verses 3 and 4. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And so they propose this before the entire congregation. They're saying this task must be delegated to men of high spiritual standards. In fact, I pause for a moment when I think about the standards they require to these men. I mean, aren't they going to just take meals around to some widows in their homes? And you might say, well, that's not that big of a deal. It's the Lord's work. It is a big deal. And so there are high qualifications. These need to be men full of the Spirit of God and of the wisdom of God. These are people that must be in tune with the Lord and with the Spirit of God. And so this task is that important. And so select 7 men who have these qualifications and get the job done. And we are going to focus on prayer and the ministry of the Word. Verse 5, we find out what the response is. It says the statement found approval with the whole congregation. Wouldn't it be great if it always went that way? That a congregation will mean there's 100% in agreement. It didn't always work that way, as we know, but this is an indication the Spirit of God is truly at work in the whole process. The congregation says that makes sense. That's right. That's what ought to be done. And so we're told that the church selected seven men. They selected seven men. They chose seven men. You pause and think about choosing these seven men. How did they do it? Did they vote? Did they appoint them? We don't know. It just simply says they chose seven men who had these qualifications. And then in verse 6, it says, "And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them." And so the church selected these seven spiritual men. They came before the apostles. They were brought before the apostles. They were commissioned by the apostles. They laid hands on them. They prayed for them to be set apart for this very important work. And then verse 7 says that the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. That's a real significant verse that looks a little bit like a footnote. Here we've had this whole issue with the church. There was a complaint that arose. There was a problem that needed to be solved, and so it's been solved. And almost as a footnote in verse 7, we read that the word of God continued to spread, and disciples were continued to be made through all of that. And I think that indicates something real significant in terms of priority, the main thing that we want to focus on here today. Important priorities were kept, and the apostles continued on without a beat with prayer and ministry of the word. And because they did that, because they found a way to take care of a problem and an issue in the church, and the main thing continued to be the main thing, the word of God continued to go out, and disciples were responsive to that. And again, the main thing remained the main thing. You think about how differently it might have been if the apostles had just stopped everything they were doing and say, "Wait a minute, we got an issue here. We need to devote our energies." And they put their energies into this complaint and this issue, and they no longer were focused on prayer and the ministry of the word. Verse 7 would not be listed here. And so again, this is something very significant to note concerning the main thing. So let's go back and focus on the main thing and the implications that the main thing has for each one of us. And I want to submit this thought out of this passage to you this morning, and that is this. Meeting needs is vitally important, but seeing that prayer and the ministry of the word are not neglected is the main thing. And that statement goes individually as well as corporately for the church. As I think about that, as I consider prayer and the ministry of the word, I take that very personally as your pastor. I believe a large part of why I am set apart to serve as pastor is to focus in those two areas. And I have a deep conviction about that. That's the main thing. That's why I believe you have set me aside. That's why I believe God has set me aside, is largely for those things that were priorities with the apostles in that day. It is very, very important to make sure there is a focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. Someone commented recently in a conversation concerning these things, and to paraphrase a comment that was shared, someone said, "Our lives get crazy, and they get busy, and we need someone to focus on those things to help us to keep the right perspective." And I thought, I think that makes sense. Because it's important to be able to have someone that will direct us to that perspective of prayer and the ministry of the word. Again, I personally see that as a sacred trust that I've been given from you and again from my Lord. And if I am not largely devoted to those things, I am not faithful to what I have been called to, and I'm not being the most helpful that I can be to God's people. And so I think that's very, very important. But I think also there's a principle out of this that applies to each one of us, and that is concerning making sure that in our own lives, prayer and the ministry of the word remain central. Service, which is also very important for us, can easily get in the way of prayer and the ministry of the word. We can be busy doing the Lord's work and yet not maintaining that center of prayer and the ministry of the word in our own lives. That leads to a phrase common in our age called burnout. And burnout is when we don't find purpose in what we do. And you will not find purpose in your service if prayer and the ministry of the Word does not remain the key focus. Again, I go back to verse 7 in the passage we've looked at here that reminds us the importance of focusing on God's Word along with prayer, where it says that the Word of God kept on spreading and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly. Again, there's a principle there for me as your pastor, for each of us as individuals, and that is concerning what we might call moving the Word of God. It is a high priority in the body of Christ, in our lives, that we be moving God's Word so that disciples can respond to that Word as it's going out. And so that's very, very important, again, for us as a body of believers. It's important for us individually. We need to be knowing the Word of God, increasing in knowledge of the Word, so that we can be moving the Word out, so that others have an opportunity to hear it, to embrace it, and to be changed by it. And so again, prayer and the ministry of the Word has got to be at the heart of the body of Christ as well as at the heart of our individual lives. We need to focus our effort in studying it, in knowing it, and also in getting that Word out. The Word of the Kingdom, the Gospel of God, the message that Jesus preached, it has to be a priority for us. Again, collectively as well as individually. All these thoughts are kind of fresh in my mind as I think of the fact that I've been your pastor for nearly 3 years. In fact, I think next day will be 3 years exactly when I came to serve as your pastor. And I think it no coincidence that we happen to be in our studies out of Acts in chapter 6 that again reminds us of prayer and the ministry of the Word. This occasion gives me a very good opportunity to reaffirm my commitment to these priorities that I have been called to it and that you rightly, I believe, can expect of me. I will continue to devote myself to prayer, to a focused study of God's Word, and in moving God's Word out in ever-widening circles so that the opportunity is there for more disciples to be produced. Lately, I have felt a specific calling to do more writing, to develop videos that will help to assist in moving the Word of God. And I continue to feel a call to pray for you as members of the body of Christ and to assist you with the Word in the ways that I can so that you can communicate God's Word to those that you have contact with. But I just feel it is important to reaffirm a commitment in those areas this day. I want to call upon you also as members of the body of Christ to reaffirm your commitment to make prayer and God's Word the center of your lives. And so I think it's a good day for all of us to do those things. As we've looked at in this text in Acts chapter 6, getting God's Word out is indeed essential to an increase of disciples. And so a renewed commitment to prayerfully knowing and moving God's Word along with that is God's desire for us. It is a good day to reaffirm those things. What I'd like to have you do is to join me. I'm already standing, so I've already done this, but I'd like to invite you to stand. And I'd like us to pray as we come before God, as we make a renewed commitment that I want to make prayer and the ministry of the Word the main thing in my life. Service, yes, we've talked about it being important, but it must flow out of this center. I want to invite us, each one, to reaffirm that commitment today. Let's pray.